Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Ma'amar by Ram Goldar, and today Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Tes Vav, the first parak, Dine Mamonos V'Shosha. The Zichu Masechta Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah taught that Arachin and Metaltelin, Arachin, which are movable items, are appraised by three judges. The Gemara said fixed Arachin only applied to people, and three interpretations are given. Number one, Rav explains that someone said, Erech Kli Zeh Alai, the Erech of this utensil is upon me to give to Hakdish. Rav rules he must give its market value because Adam Yodesh ain't Erech Kli. A person knows that there is no Erech value for utensils. So we assume he decided to pledge its appraised value, since otherwise his pledge is meaningless. Number two, Avimi says the case is b'matbis matatlin arachin, about someone who designated matatlin as payment for ordinary arachin pledges which he had previously undertaken. And number three, Rabbi Avo explains that someone said erich yalai, my erich value is upon me, and his assets are being collected as payment. If his matatlin are collected, they are appraised by three people. Ravina was asked why an accurate appraisal is critical in this final interpretation, which is bringing in an item to Hekdesh. He replied, Svaruhu mali yule mali afuke. It's logical. What is the difference between bringing something into Hekdesh and removing it, meaning redeeming it? Just as redeeming requires three judges to prevent a mistaken loss to Hekdesh, bringing items into Hekdesh to pay a debt requires an accurate appraisal to avoid errors. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that Adam, a person, requires 10 people to be appraised for Hekdesh. Since a person cannot become Hekdesh, Rabbi Avo explains it refers to one who said it, the Me'alai, my value is upon me. A brisa teaches that the person is appraised like a slave being sold in the market, and since slaves are compared with a Hekdesh to land, 10 appraisers are required. Rabbi Avin asks, Seir Ha'omer Ligzos Bekama, how many people are required to appraise hair ready to be cut, which was pledged to Hekdesh? The Gemara answers that this question is the subject of a Machlokes Tanaim about someone who is Makdish a slave. There is no Me'ilat liability for using the slave, since slaves are compared to Karka, but Tanaim argue if there is Me'ilat for using his hair, which is ready to be cut. The Gemara distinguishes between this Malchokas and another regarding swearing about Anavim Ha'omdos Libatzer, grapes which are ready to be harvested, where Rabbi Meir holds Kibsur's Damyan, they are considered already harvested and subject to swearing, and the Chamim disagree. Rabbi Meir may consider only grapes attached because the longer they remain attached, the more they deteriorate. And point number three, in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama said that lions, wolves, and other dangerous animals also require 23 judges to put them to death for killing someone. Eliezer says, Kol kodmo horgan zacha, whoever is first to kill them merits, and no judges are required. Reish Lakish clarifies, v'hushe hemisu, this applies only if they actually killed someone. But Rabbi Eliezer agrees that they are not killed if they never killed a person. He holds, yesh en tarbus v'yesh en balim. These animals can be tamed and do have owners. Rabbi Yochanan holds they can be killed outright even if they never killed anyone, because he holds they cannot be tamed and have no owners. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Eliezer means that whoever kills them first merits, meaning acquires their hides, since they are ownerless. But according to Reish Lakish, since they must have killed someone, and the rabbis consider it command the gamer denial as a based in sentence them to death, then they are forbidden to benefit. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Eliezer means zachu shamayim, he merits heavenly reward. A brisa supports Reish Lakish's view. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah taught that Arachin HaMetaltelin, Arachin, which are movable items, are appraised by three judges. The Gemara said fixed Arachin only applied to people, and three interpretations are given. Number one, Rav explains that someone said Erech Kli Zeh Alai, the Erech of this utensil is upon me to give to Hekdesh. Rav rules he must give its market value because Adam Yodesh ain't Erech Kli. A person knows that there is no Erech value for utensils. V'gamar v'amar l'shum dami, so we assume he decided to pledge its appraised value, since otherwise his pledge is meaningless. Number two, Avimi says the case is b'matbis matatlin arachin, about someone who designated matatlin as payment for ordinary arachin pledges which he had previously undertaken. And number three, Rabbi Avo explains that someone said erich yalai, my erich value is upon me, and his assets are being collected as payment. If his matatlin are collected, they are appraised by three people. Ravina was asked why an accurate appraisal is critical in this final interpretation, which is bringing in an item to Hekdesh. He replied, Svaruhu mali yule mali afuke. It's logical. What is the difference between bringing something into Hekdesh and removing it, meaning redeeming it? Just as redeeming requires three judges to prevent a mistaken loss to Hekdesh, bringing items into Hekdesh to pay a debt requires an accurate appraisal to avoid errors. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that Adam, a person, requires 10 people to be appraised for Hekdesh. Since a person cannot become Hekdesh, Rabbi Avo explains it refers to one who said it, the Me'alai, my value is upon me. A braisa teaches that the person is appraised like a slave being sold in the market, and since slaves are compared with a hektish to land, 10 appraisers are required. Rabbi Avin asks, Seir ha'omer ligzos bekama, how many people are required to appraise hair ready to be cut, which was pledged to hektish? The Gemara answers that this question is the subject of a machlokes tanaim about someone who is makdish a slave. There is no me'ila liability for using the slave, since slaves are compared to karka, but tanaim argue if there is me'ila for using his hair, which is ready to be cut. The Gemara distinguishes between this Malchokas and another regarding swearing about anavim ha'omdos libatzer, grapes which are ready to be harvested. Where Rebbe Meir holds kibsuras damyan, they are considered already harvested and subject to swearing, and the Chamim disagree. Rebbe Meir may consider only grapes detached because the longer they remain attached, the more they deteriorate. And point number three, in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama said that lions, wolves, and other dangerous animals also require 23 judges to put them to death for killing someone. Beleazar says, Kol kodmo horgan zacha, whoever is first to kill them merits, and no judges are required. Reish Lakish clarifies, v'hu shehemisu, this applies only if they actually killed someone, but Rabbi Eliezer agrees that they are not killed if they never killed a person. He holds, yesh en tarbus v'yesh en balim, these animals can be tamed and do have owners. Rabbi Yochanan holds they can be killed outright even if they never killed anyone, because he holds they cannot be tamed and have no owners. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Eliezer means that whoever kills them first merits, meaning acquires their hides, since they are ownerless. But according to Reish Lakish, since they must have killed someone, and the rabbis consider it command the gamer denial as a based in sentence them to death, then they are forbidden to benefit. The Gemara explains that Rebbe Eliezer means zachu shamayim. He merits heavenly reward. A brisa supports Reish Lakish's view. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Tezvav, and our standard siman is a fruit bowl, because Tezvav reminds us of Tu B'Shvat reminds us of fruit, and we use a fruit bowl to make the siman a little more distinct. So here goes. The man who said Erchi Alai, whose fruit bowl was being appraised for payment by three judges, was standing next to a man who had said Demei Alai, who was waiting for 10 men to appraise his value, who was almost run over by a man trying to kill a lion that killed a person. Once again, it's a motion. The man who said Erchi Alai, whose fruit bowl, that must be on Daf Tezvav, Tu B'Shvat, fruit bowl. The man who said Erchi Alai, whose fruit bowl was being appraised for payment by three judges, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that Arkin Metaltalin, Arkin, which are movable items, are appraised by three judges. The Gemara said fixed Arkin only apply to people, and three interpretations are given. The third one is Rabbi Avo, who explains that someone said Erchi Alai, my Erich value is upon me, and his assets are being collected as payment. If his metaltalin are collected, they are appraised by three people. Ravina was asked why an accurate appraisal is critical in this final interpretation, which is bringing in an item to Hekdesh. He replied, it's a svara. What's the difference between bringing something into Hekdesh and removing it, meaning redeeming it? Just as redeeming requires three judges to prevent a mistaken loss to Hekdesh, bringing items into Hekdesh to pay a debt requires an accurate appraisal to avoid errors. So the man who said Erchi Alai, whose fruit bowl was being appraised for payment by three judges, was standing next to a man who had said Demei Alai, who was waiting for 10 men to appraise his value, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that Adam, a person requires 10 people to be appraised for Hekdesh. Since a person cannot become Hekdesh, Rabbi Avo explains it refers to one who said Demei Alai, my value is upon me. A brisa teaches that the person is appraised like a slave being sold in the market, and since avadim are compared with a Hekdesh to land, 10 appraisers are required. So, the man who said Erchi Alai, whose fruit bowl was being appraised for payment by three judges, was standing next to a man who had said Demei Alai, who was waiting for 10 people to appraise his value, who was almost run over by a man trying to kill a lion that killed a person, which reminds us, in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama said that lions, wolves, and other dangerous animals also required 23 judges to put them to death for killing someone. Rabbi Eliezer says, Kol kodmo horgan zacha, whoever is first to kill them merits, and no judges are required. Reish Lakish clarifies, v'hu shehemisu, this applies only if they actually killed someone, but Rabbi Eliezer agrees they are not killed if they never killed a person. He holds, yesh en tarbus v'yesh en balim, these animals can be tamed and do have owners. Rabbi Yochanan holds they can be killed outright, even if they never killed anyone, because he holds they could not be tamed and have no owners. So once again, the man who said Erchi Alai, whose fruit bowl was being appraised for payment by three judges, was standing next to a man who had said Demei Alai, who was waiting for 10 men to appraise his value, who was almost run over by a man trying to kill a lion that killed a person. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blabach Hazara. Daf Yud Olav. So the Zimmer Daf Yud Olav is 11 stars, like the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. When the judges gathered to extend the year, a rabbi wearing a star hat, star? That must be Maran Daf Yud Olav, stars. When the judges gathered to extend the year, a rabbi wearing a star hat took the blame for coming uninvited, which reminds us it was Tana Braisa that a leap year is only established by judges designated by the Nasi. Once Rabbi Gamliel instructed 7 judges to come discuss extending the year, but found 8 judges there. He announced that whoever came without permission should leave. Shmuel Katan said it was he, but he had not come to participate, but to observe the process. Rabbi Gamliel said, "Sit, my son, sit. Ruyas kol shanim kuhn li sabra al yadcha. It's fitting that all the leap years should be extended by you, but the Chachamim said that only designated judges may do so." The Gemara says that in truth, Shmuel Katan was not the undesignated person, but he sought to save that person from embarrassment. So when the judges gathered to extend the year, a rabbi wearing a star hat took the blame for coming uninvited. As the judges placed stars on the chart showing the grain, trees, and seasons as deciding factors, which reminds us, the Gemara brings various factors for establishing a leap year. One braisa lists 3 factors for extending the year: Ha'aviv, the ripening of grain, which must be before Pesach; Perza Ilan, ripening of trees' fruits in time for Shavuos, for Bikurim; and Hatakufa, ensuring the season begins in the correct month, as discussed on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The year is only extended if 2 of these 3 factors are present. Our previous braisa is adding that if the required animals have not matured, this can be the second factor for extending the year. So when the judges gathered to extend the year, a rabbi wearing a star hat took the blame for coming uninvited. As the judges placed stars on the chart showing the grain, trees, and seasons as deciding factors, and the crowd rejoiced with star-like fireworks when Yehuda was one of the regions with the late crops, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that 3 regions are considered for extending the year because of late ripening crops: Yehuda, Eber Yardin, and Galil. The year is extended if 2 of these regions are experiencing late crops, but not for 1. If Yehuda is one of those regions, everyone's happy because it means Yehuda's grain, which is ideal for the Omer, will still be moist. A Raisa teaches that the year must be extended in Yehuda, but if it was extended in Galil, the extension is effective. Daf Yud Beis. So the Siman Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers. 12 brothers? That must be learned Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers playing the Ibur Hashanah game, who called one of the brothers out when he was Ma'aber before Rosh Hashanah, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, "Ein Ma'aber Nes Hashanah Lifnei Rosh Hashanah." We do not extend the year before Rosh Hashanah. If they did, it's ineffective. If an extension would be announced so early, it may be forgotten by other Sheni, leading people to eat chametz on the actual Pesach. In cases of urgent need, where they may not find qualified judges, or a foreign power may later prevent them, they can be Ma'aber the year immediately after Rosh Hashanah. So the 12 brothers playing the Ibur Hashanah game and called one of the brothers out when he was Ma'aber before Rosh Hashanah, started to argue why the brother dressed as a king was out, whether it was that he was Ma'aber because he said they were all Tame, which reminds us, the Gemara brings about chokas about being Ma'aber the year because of Tuma. A braisa states, "Ein Ma'aber Nes Hashanah b'fnei HaTuma." We do not extend the year because of Tuma of a majority of Jews at the time of the Karban Pesach. Rav Yehuda holds that although someone Tame may not bring karbanas, Tuma hutra b'tzibur. Tuma is permitted for the community, meaning when a communal carbon must be brought, and most Jews are tame. Since it's permitted outright and not duchuya, it's not pushed aside, there's no need to ma'aber the year, and he holds it is ineffective if they did so. Rav Yehuda supported his position from the incident in which Chizkiyah HaMelech extended the year because of Tuma, u'bikesh rachamim al atzmo, and he begged Hashem to have mercy on him when he realized his error, because communal Tuma is hutra for Karban Pesach, and the year should not have been extended. So the 12 brothers playing the Ibur Hashanah game, who called one of the brothers out when he was Ma'aber before Rosh Hashanah, started to argue why the brother dressed as a king was out, whether it was that he was Ma'aber because he said they were all Tameh, or because he was Ma'aber on the 30th day of Adar, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a second explanation of Chizkiyah's mistake, that he was Ma'aber the year on the 30th day of Adar. His error was about Shmuel's ruling that we cannot extend the year on the 30th day of Adar, since it's able to be designated as Nisan. Chizki was Ma'aber the year on the 30th of Adar because he didn't hold of Shmuel's ruling, but later retracted. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a Bar Mitzvah Bacher. So here goes. The Bar Mitzvah boy. Bar Mitzvah boy, that must be on Daf Yud Gimel. The Bar Mitzvah boy totally lost the crowd when he darshaned about the day of the Tishrei season falling out in Chol HaMoed and Yom Tekufa Gomer, or Maschil, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Machlokes about Ibur Shana to ensure the autumn Tekufa is in Chag HaAsif. So the Bar Mitzvah boy totally lost the crowd when he darshaned about the day of the Tishrei season falling out in Chol HaMoed and Yom Tekufa Gomer, or Maschil. And when he changed tracks and explained how the Nisan season falling out after 14 days in Nisan gives us a leap year, which reminds the Gemara brings the fifth opinion that Tekufas Nisan must fall in the renewal of Nisan. So the bar mitzvah boy totally lost the crowd when he darshened about the day of the Tishrei season falling out in Chol HaMoed and Yom Tekuf HaGomer, or Maschil. And when he changed tracks and explained how the Nisan season falling out after the 14 days in Nisan gives us a leap year, three rabbis got up from the head table and called him Rebbe, giving him smicha, which reminds us, Rav Acha Breda Rava asked Rav Ashi if the one giving smicha must literally lean his hand on the one receiving smicha, and he answered, no, they ordain him by giving him a title. They call him Rebbe, and they give him permission to judge Dine Kanasos. Daf Yadal, so the Simmer Daf Yadal relates to Yad hand, and we use a juggler for the Simmer. So here goes. The juggler, that must be on Daf Yad, hand, juggler. The juggler juggling spears and five pins with the names of great rabbis with smicha on them, which reminds us, Gemara relates how Rav Yehuda ben Baba sacrificed his life to perpetuate smicha when he gave it to five zekanim and was subsequently killed by the Romans who drove 300 spears into him. So the juggler juggling spears and five pins with the names of great rabbis with smicha on them, who only did the smicha routine in Eretz Yisrael for audiences in Eretz Yisrael, which reminds us, we learned that smicha can only be given if both the party giving the smicha and the parties receiving the smicha are in Eretz Yisrael. So the juggler juggling spears and five pins with the names of great rabbis with smicha on them, who only did the smicha routine in Eretz Yisrael for audiences in Eretz Yisrael, almost dropped one of his pins when he was shocked seeing the entire Sanhedrin walk by on their way to measure for an egla arufa, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokes about the number of dayanim for egla arufa, and the third opinion requires the entire Sanhedrin to come to measure for it. All right, so now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf did we learn how Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba sacrificed his life to perpetuate smicha? That's on daf Yedalad. Okay, number two, which daf did we learn that one received smicha by being given the title of Rebbe, permitting him to judge Dine Kanasos? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good number three, which is the one? There's one Tanu holds that Beis Din is only Mekadosh a month on the 30th day, not the 31st. That's on daf Yud. Good number four, which daf do we learn? The one who said Deme Alai, my value is upon me, 10 appraisers are acquired. That's on daf Tezvav. Good number five, which daf do you discuss what the din is in a case of two brothers and a third person witnessing a murder where one of the brothers did not give Hasra? That's on daf Test. Good number six. Which daf do we propose about the number of dayanim for Egla Rufa? And we have a third opinion requiring the entire Sanhedrin. That's on daf Yadalad. Good number seven. Which daf do we learn that if someone said, Erech Yalai, my Erech value is upon me, if his metaltelin is collected for payment, it is appraised by three people? That's on daf Tezvav. Good number eight. Which daf do we propose about Ibar Shana to ensure the Adam Tekufa is in Chaga Asif? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good number nine. Which daf do we learn that we're not ma'abed the year before Shoshana because it might be forgotten by Adar Sheni? That's on daf Yud Beis. Good number ten. Which daf do we learn that according to Rabbi Eliezer, lions and wolves are only killed if they killed someone first? That's on daf Tezvav. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichur wishing you a great day and great learning.